Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to be generous. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's a stretch from Jesus saying, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap or have barns or storerooms, yet God feeds them too. The news story about the three-year-old hippo named Fritz getting a watermelon cake for his birthday, but that's just how I roll. See, I didn't know hippos loved watermelons. A few years ago, I learned that elephants love apples and oranges, but hippos and watermelons, who knew? Well, now we do. You see, God knows what we love, and sometimes, well, he gives us what we love through people who love us. So last week, Jesus told the parable about the rich fool who wanted to build bigger barns so that he could eat, drink, and be merry while everybody worked. He had it all figured out, except he died before he got to enjoy any of it. Now, even though Jesus says that we should never call anyone a fool because we would be tempting the fires of hell, God calls this guy a fool. And Jesus wants us to make the connection so that we don't make the same mistake. This week, Jesus says God feeds the birds of the air and all the other animals. And then he calls us sheep, not a compliment, but a term of endearment. And he says, have no fear, little flock, because God wants to give us the kingdom. There's a lot of mixing of metaphors in there, isn't there? Now, a couple of quick notes. First of all, these verses do not mean that no humans or animals have never gone hungry. I've got friends who love to point these things out and call God a liar. It's just like when Jesus said, whoever asks for anything in my name, God will give it to him. And they start going, I want a Ferrari in Jesus' name. I want a new house. And when it doesn't happen, they say, see, God's a liar. I suppose we could have said, God feeds 62.7% of the birds. But then we would get lost into the whole, why didn't God feed the other 27.3%? And we would miss the entire point of the story. Second, this also doesn't mean that we don't need barns or savings accounts or insurance. I know a few hymns include the word, God cares for all my needs, emphasis on all. But God still expects us to be diligent when it comes to our finances, to actually have a job, to do a little planning for the future. And to be honest, sometimes we don't have everything that we need. I was watching a documentary on homelessness in America last week, and the interviewer asked the individual, he said, what do you think about cities giving you your own area that you have to take care of? And the person responded, well, then who are we going to beg from? Yeah, we all need somebody. Third, when Jesus says God wants to give us the kingdom, don't try taking a second mortgage on it so that you can build bigger barns, okay? There are passages in the New Testament that talk about believers ruling with Jesus on earth for 1,000 years, and some say we're going to rule with him in heaven. But this isn't the kind of rule where we get to tell everyone else what to do, where we get to sit up on a throne while everybody else grovels beneath us. No, this is a reign of peace and love where we might be wearing a crown, but everybody else is too. See, this whole gospel is about Jesus giving us a glimpse into the heart of God. And when I say heart, I'm not talking about the blood-pumping organ. I'm talking about the very core of God's being. When St. John said God is love, he wasn't trying to create a branding logo for all of God's Instagram and TikToks. He was stating a facet of who God is at his very core. Far too many people complain they don't know God, or don't know enough about him, or are confused by his essence, using that word from the Athanasian Creed. If God's core is love, it gives us a glimpse of why he does things. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If we read stories of Jesus in the gospel, oh, healing the sick, oh, knocking tables over in the temple when people are getting cheated, forgiving sinners, sacrificing himself for the world, all those things that Jesus did, we get a very good idea of what God's heart is all about. Love. Now, but since love is such a strange word with all sorts of expectations and different definitions, it takes a little work to figure out what Jesus and St. John mean. See, when we talk about God's love in context of all the animals in the Old Testament who were sacrificed for people's sins, a little hard to call that love. As the old joke goes, everybody was happy with you when the prodigal son came home, except, yeah, the fatted calf. All that wandering in the wilderness for Moses, God's people, the battles that had to be fought, the peoples that lost were lost. Again, there's a lot of those stories that's hard to call love. And when we talk about Jesus leaving heaven and taking on human flesh, and all the times that they made fun of him and tortured him and tried to run him off cliff, well, ultimately, then we get to the point where he had to die to forgive us all of our sins. That's a very different kind of love than most of us can understand. I just don't see Hallmark coming out with, "I love you so much that I'm willing to suffer and die on a cross for you." I think you see. God is a mystery we cannot explain. We just have to go along for the ride. And the ride is more spectacular, scary, and exciting than we imagined. God's joy in giving away the kingdom, one sandwich and peach pie at a time, is one of God's now and not yet promises. Now, God's kingdom is already here, and yet it's still coming. It's here because Jesus redeemed God's people. There has always been enough food so that everyone in the world could eat three amazing meals a day. There has always been enough things to do so that people could have a job doing what they love and that they're good at, so that they can buy all the stuff they need. Not necessarily all the stuff they want, but all the stuff they need. There's always been enough love and mercy and compassion and care for every single person on this planet and the 368,000 babies that get born every day. While there may be enough for everyone, it doesn't mean that everybody gets what they need. And that's because of sin. However, because Jesus has redeemed his people through his death and resurrection, the kingdom of God is already come, and it's, well, still coming. One act of mercy, grace, love, forgiveness, and turkey sandwich and peach pie at a time. As Jesus' followers, the Holy Spirit inspires us when any of our fellow creatures need a little help. Whether they are hippos celebrating a third birthday and we want to make them happy, or a neighbor who needs some food because something happened and they're really struggling and you've got some extra, or a friend who could just use a cup of coffee and a listening ear because they're at their wit's end and they really do need someone to talk to. So if there's enough of everything the world needs and we have been redeemed and set free to bring God's kingdom, why hasn't it happened yet? Why isn't God's kingdom here totally? Why is it here but still coming? That's when Jesus closes the gospel with a real zinger that cuts to the heart and the soul and our wallets. Now, whether you're watching those late night commercials that have puppies locked in cages, or the ones where the flies are crossing the children's eyeballs, or the latest appeal for help for Texas and the floods, or California and the wildfires, it's so easy to say, someone needs to do something, and we mean it. We really do believe and want someone to do something. But when we look at our bank account and our plans for the future, that's where things come to a screeching stop. See, when Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," it gets really uncomfortable. And all of us want God to be number one in our life. We want people to know that we love God. We want people to know that we love our family. They're definitely number two. And then we start prioritizing our jobs and friends and community and all the things that we're passionate about that get our hearts stirred up and our hands and feet and voices busy. And sometimes we do get it right. But all too often, it's obvious to others that our priorities are messed up. So are we. A few weeks ago in our prayers, I noted the holiday, "Dads, take your daughters for a walk day." And I put it in there because it really cut me to the heart. See, my very nature as an ADHD, OCD kind of guy keeps me in motion, always adding more things to my plate, and that means sometimes things get shoved to the side of the plate. And my family is one of those things, which is why I'm working on prioritizing things differently. I still have a long way to go, and I can never make up for all the things that I messed up. But I realized Jesus was right. I need a transplant to realign my heart and my treasure. Now, if you've been around our Savior for a while, you know we don't talk a lot about money. We strive to be an outward-focused church, taking care of our needs, but doing the work of the church in our community, our nation, and our world, using the time, the talent, and the treasure that God has brought to this place. We have a regular offering to pay the bills and salaries and maintenance and basic mission support for our district and Senate. We got a box at the back of the church, or you can always give online. Now, we also have our quarterly mission projects, which we vote on every year. We let the whole congregation, including those of you online, to vote on them. And we've been able to raise over $13,000 a year for places like Lutheran Church Charities and their Comfort Dog and Disaster Teams, the River of Life Homeless Ministry, our three compassion children, LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, Disaster Recovery, and the Hawaii Food Bank. And by the way, not only do we give a nice check to the Hawaii Food Bank every year, but we raise well over a ton of rice. We don't expect you to give to all these missions. We want your heart to be in line with the things that you care about. Once in a while, we have special offerings, like Maui Wildfire or DCE Sina, who lost her home while she was here in one of the fires in California. We said, we can at least buy you a few things so that when you get home, well, you at least have a few things. Today, you can give to a missionary that's on his way, and it's something that's important to us. Again, these are things that we want your heart to lead on. We also trust that you're giving to things outside the church that you are passionate about. You know what those things are. They have nothing to do with God or the church, but they do in a way because you're passionate about them and you bring passion to others, and it gives you a chance, by the way, when you work in and through those things to tell people about Jesus. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The kingdom has come, but it is also not yet, because even the church has not been able to fully align itself with God's heart. We may know we are loved and forgiven and freed to be God's people, but we still are struggling with what that means. Growing up, when I went to my grandma's house, there was shelves and shelves of canned food down in the basement. Much of it was expired, and there was a thick coat of dust on the rest of it. When I asked my mom why, she said, "Well, your grandma and grandpa went through the Great Depression. Now, they lived on a dairy farm, so they had more than enough to feed themselves and feed their neighbors, but it had a profound impact on them. Such a deep scar was left that every time grandma went to the store and could afford it, she would buy what she needed and a little bit more, and then she would take a few of those canned goods and other things downstairs just in case. But since it never got used, it just kept building up. When Jesus said, if you have two jackets, give one away, we excuse ourselves by saying, well, the truth is, I need a brown jacket and a blue jacket. I need a winter jacket, I need a rain jacket, and I need a windbreaker. And Jesus isn't arguing with you. It's not about the number or the color of jackets in your closet. You see, Jesus says, when you realize you don't need something, you got two blue jackets or two brown jackets, he says, give it away to somebody who needs it. He told the disciples, freely you have been given, so freely give. And while he's specifically talking about forgiveness and mercy and grace there, the principle applies to everything. Elsewhere in Mark 10:30, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come eternal life. And in Luke 6:38, he said, you know, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, this does not mean that if you give 5 old jackets away, that God's going to magically put 5 brand new perfect jackets in your closet. Or that if you give money to a mission, that suddenly you're going to win the lottery and become wealthy. You can bankrupt yourself by giving away everything of value in your life. Find yourself completely at the mercy of others, which may actually be the point of this gospel. Because God says, what do you really need? And then he reveals the cross and the empty tomb and what you already have in Christ. When Jesus says there is no reason to fear, referring to himself as the shepherd and we as the sheep of his pasture, it's because the shepherd laid down his life for us. He defends us from the evil one and he keeps us near to him. We cannot outgive God. And while this world is not even close to heaven and there is so much starving and dying and suffering because we humans cannot get our act together, the kingdom is already here and one day it will come in its fullness. That brings us back to where your treasure is, your heart is also. In Genesis 19:5, God tells Moses, ye shall be my peculiar treasures. Yeah, you got to go to the King James to find that particular translation, and I prefer it over all the others that say treasured possession. We are God's treasure, and we are peculiar. And that means his heart is beating among us. It's bringing us life and love and joy. If you are less sentimental and more scientific, here's a rabbit hole fact for you. The National Institute of Health discovered just thinking about being generous, and I quote, significantly increases the protective antibody salivary immunoglobulin A, a protein used by the immune system. Now, if just thinking about being generous makes you healthier, imagine what actually being generous can do for you. God knows a thing or two about treasure and hearts and holding nothing back and being generous. St. Paul said, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives and works in me. God's heart beating within us and him sending us out as his peculiar treasures to make a difference in the world that actually has everything it needs, but it doesn't because people are holding it back. Because people haven't figured out how to share. And that's the challenge that we face for us and helping others to figure it out as well. We live in a kingdom that's already here and we look for the kingdom that's to come. We recognize that we're still sinners. We are part of the problem, and yet God has also chosen to make us part of the solution. We move forward, sometimes pulling our heart along and other times letting our heart pull us along. One day, they'll both be in the same place. Whether it's throwing a birthday party for a hippo and watching him get really excited about a watermelon cake, or caring for a neighbor, or helping me feed folks on this island, or sending money to somebody so that they can go and tell somebody else about Jesus, these are the kind of things that can really realign your heart with your treasure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.